go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, and welcome to Kevin Freeman, our duty expert on matters involving economic warfare. He is a senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy, specializing in that portfolio, and the star of a new television product. It is called Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. He is also the author of two superb and best-selling books, Secret Weapon and Game Plan. And it's always a delight to catch up with him and get a tour inside the Economic War Room. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
Well, listen, I wanted to start with your reading on China at the moment in the throes of this to-ing and fro-ing about a tariff war. Xi Jinping, the rather prickly and now all-powerful Chinese ruler, is making noises that sound rather accommodating in a speech that he just gave. What can you tell us about the speech, and what do you make of it?
Well, Frank, when I listened to it and I saw the write-ups, it seems that President Xi is playing both good cop and bad cop, and he made a number of, you know, we're going to stop the intellectual property theft. We understand it's an issue. We're going to on trade. We want to work for a balance of trade that's fair and equitable. And yet, this is rhetoric that we've heard before. It's never been followed through. I'll believe it when I see it. The Chinese are intent on gaining economic dominance, and their actions speak much louder than their words.
So let's talk a little bit about some of those actions. I'm told that they have halted the purchase of U.S. Treasury notes. Is that your understanding, Kevin Freeman, and what would the implications be were they to do that?
That is what it appears like. You know, you take that word at the same moment that you take the Congressional Budget Office that's projecting trillion-dollar deficits as far as the eye can see. The Chinese own a little over $1 trillion worth of our debt. The fact that they're stopping buying and not going to grow their purchases with our debt is very ominous. It means that we'll have to look for other buyers, other people to lend us money, and there just aren't that many of them, at least in that $1 trillion range. So they have intended for long periods to remove the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and this is another step in that process. And we've documented from internal Chinese documents that we published at our website and other places. It is in line with unrestricted warfare. This is a part of their long-term plan, and so to see it happening is not at all surprising.
Yeah, one neglects at one's peril the long-range mindedness of the Chinese and the fact that they've been at this for some time and it's coming to fruition in our time is indeed, as you say, ominous, Kevin Freeman. And by the way, check out globaleconomicwarfare.com as a source of tremendous information, including these documents that Kevin's just referred to. Kevin, one other thing before we turn to other topics in China. Apparently there is some discussion that they may devalue the yuan, their currency. What, again, would that entail, and how might it have repercussions in our own economic circumstance?
Well, if the Chinese were to devalue the yuan temporarily, it would be to seek a trade advantage or to strike a blow. That's a typical trade war response. You devalue your currency so you make your goods more attractive to others. That's not in their long-term purpose. Their long-term purpose is to have the reserve currency of the world, and that will require a strengthening of the yuan, not a weakening. So, but this is a threat. It's a direct slap back at the mention of tariffs, and this is what you typically do in that mold. I don't know if they would do it. It would rile financial markets. We would see the stock market drop sharply if they did that. We would see a whole host of other negative economic repercussions. But all of that would be short term because that's not in their long term plan.
You'll be watching it closely, and as a result, so will we, Kevin Freeman. Keep us posted. One other matter that you've been talking about for some time, Kevin, you've now coined a phrase for it, which I think is evocative, and that is a computing arms race, primarily between, I guess, the Chinese and the United States in the area of quantum computing. I think most of us don't have a clue. I certainly don't what quantum computing is, let alone what might be the implications of our losing that race. Walk us through that quickly, if you would.
Sure. Well, quantum computing is regular supercomputing multiplied by a factor of 1,000. It's the ability for a computer to operate more rapidly than anything we've ever seen. It's based on a new architecture, a new form of architecture, and it's based on theoretical physics. But it's working, and whoever masters that first has the ability to decrypt any encryption and to create an encryption that no one else can decrypt. So it really is. It breeds artificial intelligence. It breeds all kinds of things that are just slow or barely possible in today's computing environment. Whoever wins that race is going to dominate economically and from a security perspective.
And it is your understanding that at the moment the Chinese are emerging as dominant, Kevin Freeman?
Well, they're certainly focused on it. It's hard to tell. We have an innovation advantage with a free enterprise system, but they have poured enormous resources and they've stolen as much technology as they need. So yes, this is their focus. It's hard to say who's leading in this, but at the moment, it's quite possible that they are.
I've seen one estimate that the Chinese have put in to a new facility for sponsoring and fostering this kind of work, something on the order of $10 billion, and that the United States, by comparison, is investing something on the order of $200 billion a year. Does that sound right to you, Kevin?
What you just said was $10 billion versus $200
billion? $200 million on our side.
Yes, $200 million, yes. Now we're talking about what's right. But that does not include what the free market is also investing. So there is some hope for innovation there, that these large tech companies are pouring money into it that is not associated with government research.
Yeah, but much of that is presumably being ripped off by the Chinese as part of their standard operating procedure. Hey, Kevin, quickly, speaking of countries that are in difficulty, the Iranian rial, their currency, seems to be plunging in value, evidence of, I gather, some really significant economic distress, which is all the more remarkable given that they picked up a cool $150 billion, we're told, from Barack Obama not so long ago. What's the story there?
Well, the Iranian people enjoy travel, and one of the things that the Wall Street Journal in an article today noted is that the currency markets are extraordinarily unfavorable. The rial is the lowest level against the U.S. dollar in recorded history, and the exchange rate's just killing them with a high inflation rate, high unemployment. Their economy just appears to be in serious trouble, and that's understandable despite the enormous amount of money we gave them, because they had geared their economy, and I did work with the Pentagon. Their economy is geared around the idea of $100 to $150 a barrel oil. Anything less than $100 a barrel, they were running serious deficits. Now we have $60 a barrel oil, they're running serious deficits. And we haven't been at $100 since 2013, 2014 was the last time we were at significant levels. So they've been sucking wind for a while and running through the capital.
This always prompts me to wonder, and as a specialist in economic warfare, I know it's on your mind as well, why the Iranians haven't yet, or whether they won't at some point in the foreseeable future, take the step of interrupting the Saudi oil flows, which would drive up dramatically the price of oil virtually instantaneously. Is that in the offing, do you think, given the desperate straits that the Iranians seem now to find themselves in?
Well, that would be an incredible attack that they had, but it would subject themselves to a serious response from the Western world. That would start a massive conflict. I'm certain that those plans have been discussed and contemplated, and I hope that they never come to pass. But the sanctions and the response to the Iranian regime, I don't know if they would ever get oil out of there again if we responded as we should.
I'm not suggesting that they would do this in an overt way, but that there would be ways that accomplish the disruption of the Saudi infrastructure, for sure, covertly. Well, on that subject, let's hope that doesn't transpire. Kevin Freeman, we usually find ourselves concluding these conversations hoping that a lot of things aren't going to transpire that you're forecasting, but your vision and your clarity about them is really appreciated, as is the work you're doing at Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. Keep us posted on its progress and come back to us again next week. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.